I'm not nostalgic for our past. I am desperate to remind this younger generation of what a bright future they have awaiting them.
Learn to be courageous and recognize that freedom is not free.
This is Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathbun, President and CEO of Private Wealth Consultants. Your free market voice.
Free market voice.
Of the Midwest. Call Gary, 855-334-4556. Gary Rathbun has over 30 years of experience in making the best choices for you to keep more of what you earn. Educational, real, relevant. Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathbun.
This is
good evening and welcome again to Eye on Your Money. I am Gary Rathbun with my voice restored. It's good to be back. Our number here, 855-334-4556. I want to spend some time, quite a bit of time, talking about essentially some of the breakdowns that are happening not only around the world, but in our own country. So we're going to touch on a little bit of what's happening in the St. Louis area. We're going to touch on what's happening down along the border. We're going to touch on what's happening in Europe and the Ukraine and Russia and that kind of stuff. So we're kind of be all over the different geopolitical aspects, but with a bent to private property, self-reliance, individualism. And feel free to give me a call and voice your comments. I know that everybody today is talking about the death of Robin Williams. And you know what? I'm sure that's been done, and I don't need to add to it other than to say, just so you know, I think he was a tremendous actor, tremendous talent. One of my favorite movies is a very little known, very dark movie he did called What Dreams May Come. And it's a shame. It's a shame that at 63, I don't know if they've officially ruled it suicide yet. Have they said that? Yeah. Okay. Apparently they have. Well, that's a shame to have a talent like that has problems and destroys itself. But tremendous, tremendous talent. It's going to be missed. Had kind of a flat day in the market today, but we've been getting a few questions from listeners about, you know, all that's happening in the world, all the negative that's happening in the world. Why is the market not only pretty much maintaining its prices, but sometimes going up in price? It continues to be fairly bullish. It isn't really affected by what's going on in Russia, what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Germany. What's going on in the Middle East, the Israeli Palestinian Gaza Strip conflict, that, you know, we've reached a point where it's not gonna de-escalate anytime soon. But, you know, there's an interesting phenomenon in here, in that the market, the stock market, and the economy are still disconnected. And we got to reach a connection point at some time in the future. The market has to reach equilibrium with the economy eventually. Now, I've said that for a long time, and I still believe it's got to happen eventually. I don't know when. But until it does, many of the events around the world are not going to have the impact on the stock market that we think it should. The market is being held up by liquidity being infused into the banking system, the financial sector, via the Federal Reserve. And so the events around the world, Russia going into Crimea, messing with the Ukraine, threatening Poland, threatening sanctions, agricultural sanctions, it's not really going to affect the stock market, because the events around that, what happens because of those actions, doesn't affect what's holding up the stock market. If the market is being held up by the Federal Reserve printing and excess liquidity and the perceived absence of risk, in other words, a price bubble, then what difference does it make if people in the Middle East are bombing each other, people in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon are being terrorized by some fanatics? What difference does it make to the market? And these are tragic events. Don't get me wrong. These are events that deeply affect humans, individuals, families, children. I mean, I've seen the pictures. In one sense, they're surreal in the point where they don't really look real. But yet, I find it hard to believe they're photoshopped to make the point. But this is terrible human tragedy. But it's not particularly major economic news when it comes to our stock market. Whatever's going on in the world is not going to affect too much the earnings next quarter, very much, if at all. And that's what's changing, or that's what's causing the market not to be too drastically affected. Now, the U.S. market, when it comes to Iraq, U.S. markets haven't really done anything or cared about what's going on in Iraq since 2003. And President Obama sending some drones, sending some aircraft, bombing a few things. Yeah, it's kind of old news. So that's why the stock market is not widely affected. Now, I say widely affected. It is mildly affected by the news. And that's just because the program traders, the high-frequency traders, they have to do something. They have to move. They have to take some type of action based on the headline, the latest headline that scrolls across their screen. So there is a lot of volatility, but it's within a fairly narrow corridor. And that will change. I just don't know when. I tell people I'm never wrong. I'm always right. I'm just not always on time. So that will change, and the market will become more drastically volatile. But I don't think so right away. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Ferguson, Missouri. Coming up, we've got some interesting comments from David Stockman's blog as well as, and I don't know if you saw this, did you see this show the other night, Stossel? It's on either Fox or Fox Business. I forget when it was, Saturday night, Sunday night. He had a show on the Border Patrol checkpoints. And I think you're going to be very, very interested in that. But, this is the 100th, this month is the 100th anniversary the beginning of World War One, essentially kicked off from because of the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo. And I think there's some similarity between what triggered World War One and what we're going through today. The markets and overall economy can withstand a tremendous amount of political stress and uncertainty. But it does eventually reach a point where order breaks down. And we can look at this both domestically, which we will a little later, and internationally. You got civilian airliners being shot down, supposedly by Russian missiles. Well, you say in the news, you got Ebola. I'm not sure people quite understand the risk that this poses to our country. You can have all the protocols to effectively take care of infected people, and all it takes is one person breaking a protocol, and we got a serious problem. The bigger problem that I see we have today that correlates to August of 1914 is that too many of the world's leaders, ours included, are failing to manage the risk. They're establishing institutions or not establishing institutions that can channel rival interests and claims that fuel this international conflict. They're essentially sleepwalking, and the United Nations of all organizations is essentially paralyzed. They're doing nothing. It's like the principal of the school is away and there's international chaos because we're not walking around like Joe Carter carrying a big stick. Coming up, we're going to take a look at some comments by David Stockman that I think you will find fairly interesting. I'm Gary Rathman. This is Eye on Your Money.
Now back to Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathbun.
You know, even though there's geopolitical discourse all over the world, and the markets continue to go up, that doesn't mean that they're isn't a real problem from a societal standpoint. We're seeing that in Ferguson, Missouri, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. We've seen it in the past in Northern Africa. You've seen where at one point families, the average family in Northern Africa, Egypt, Nigeria, 25% of their annual wage would go toward food. And in the recent few years, that has increased to 50% of their annual income goes to food. And what that does, it causes a lot of social unrest. And we are, in this country, very fragile right now from a civility standpoint. People are very anxious. People are very afraid. I'm not saying it's unjustified. I'm just stating what it is. And a big part of that is fueled by economics. We've read over and over about the disappearance of the middle class. And over the last, I read it today and I didn't write it down. Over the last 6 years, the real income of most Americans has gone down 23%. So if your income goes down 23% and prices stayed stable, that's essentially 23% inflation. The difficulty is that people's wages have gone down 23%. And prices have not remained stable. So we've got a double impact that is the equivalent of inflation going on. Now, David Stockman, author of the new book, it's not so new anymore. It's been out for a few months, called The Great Deformation, was in President Reagan's White House. I don't know if you remember him or not. He wrote a book called The Triumph of Politics back in the 80s. Tremendous book. Guy's extraordinarily bright. And he was asked recently about what's going on in the financial markets. And his response was, the watchword at this point is to stay out of harm's way. He feels that the policy, monetary policy of the Federal Reserve is creating a massive bubble in the financial markets. And essentially, they've painted themselves into a corner that they don't know how to get out of. Couple that with our international foreign policy, which I've said before, we no longer walk quietly and carry a big stick. We walk quietly and don't carry any stick. And the world knows this. The world needs somebody that is moral, is believed to be moral, that has the power to keep the bullies in check. Putin is a bully. ISIS is a bully. There's a lot of bullies around the world that are doing things, taking actions that they normally wouldn't take if they knew we carried a big stick and were willing to use it. Fact is, over the last 64, 65 months, the S&P market has continued to go up. And if you look at that chart, the pullbacks are getting smaller and smaller each time. And what that tells us is that the broad market is discounting the risk associated with investing in it. Sooner or later, the hedge funds, the high-frequency traders, the institutions are going to start deleveraging. They're going to start backing away from the debt they're using to invest in the stock market. And when this happens, that bubble in the financial industry is likely to start deflating very, very quickly. We've taken the balance sheet of the Fed from $900 billion to $4.5 trillion in 70 months. And not only have we done that, but that has been done to most of the central banks, or by most of the central banks around the world. Stockman calls this a train wreck in slow motion. Now, as I've said before, I don't disagree with this. Yeah, I think it's a train wreck in slow motion. As long as it's in slow motion, or even as it speeds up, we'll be able to take advantage of it and protect ourselves from it. Coming up, I'm going to comment on John Stossel's program the other night on the Border Patrol checkpoints in this country. Can't wait. I'm Gary Rathman. This is Eye on Your Money. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I forget what night it was. Had to have been Saturday night, maybe Sunday night. I don't know. Whenever Stossel is on the Fox channel, John Stossel. I like John. Like him a lot. He's a staunch libertarian. He is a student of Ayn Rand, big objectivist, and very clear thinker. But he had a show that focused on Border Patrol. And he wrote an article about her, wrote an editorial, but he did a whole show on the Border Patrol. And if you drive to Mexico, which is really the border we're most concerned with, rather than Canada, but if you drive to Mexico, you expect to get stopped at the border. You expect to talk to Border Patrol people either going into Mexico or coming out of Mexico. Where Stossel had a problem, and I agree, is that the Border Patrol is allowed to set up inland, quote unquote, inland checkpoints anywhere up to 100 miles inland from an external border of the United States. This is what the government considers a reasonable distance from the border. Now, far be it from me to endorse or agree with the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, but they have a lawyer by the names of, by name of James Lyall, L-Y-A-L-L. To quote him, he says, interior checkpoints fundamentally fly in the face of what it means to live in a free society, where you don't have to answer to federal agents where you're going about your daily business. But Stossel had video of these people getting stopped with these Border Patrol agents immediately being hostile and essentially telling people on camera, I assume they didn't know they was on camera, those dashboard cameras of people being stopped, telling them that the Constitution does not apply there, that they are above the Constitution. Now, it's been ruled that by the Supreme Court that they can conduct brief stops for the limited purpose of verifying resident status, but cannot conduct searches of individuals or the interior of their vehicles. Well, that just isn't true. On Stossel's show, over and over and over again, he had people saying, and they had video showing people who didn't want to get out of the car, these patrol agents would bust the glass in their car, tase them, drag them out on the ground, slash their tires, all for nothing. Now, we've got policemen, and I consider Border Patrol part of that profession. We got Border Patrol people that are doing to American citizens inland on our own soil, they should be doing at the border. Now, the reason I bring this up, and it's kind of the theme that's going to run through the rest of the evening, is this country was founded on the principles of private property. And private property has a broad definition. Private property is not just real estate that has a deed with your name on it. Private property is everything about you, your earning potential, your knowledge, your stuff, your car, your family, everything that you touch is your personal property. And when we've got policemen, patrol agents protecting the government from its citizens, instead of protecting the citizens from the government, we've got a problem. After watching Stossel's show, I picked up a book I had on the shelf that I hadn't read yet by a gentleman by the name of, I think his first name is Bill. I think it's Bill Whitehead. And the book is called A Government of Wolves. And I haven't finished the book yet. When I finish the book, I'm going to have the gentleman on the show. But he talks about this very same thing. We've got communities in this country that have 20,000 citizens. They have SWAT teams. They have armored vehicles. Take a look sometime for the articles of government military vehicles and weapons going to individual police departments. Why would a small town, why would any town police department need armored vehicles. I have a problem with this. The Border Patrol wouldn't respond to John Stossel's request for an interview, but he did interview Representative Peter King. Representative Peter King is a Republican from New York, and he is on the Homeland Security Committee. And when Stossel asked him about these kind of events, he had the audacity to say, "I am not aware of any significant abuses. I'm on the Homeland Security Committee. If anything, the complaint we get is there's not enough strict enforcement." He points out that when people come into this country illegally, they don't stay on the border. They keep going. Well, that's probably true. They get 10 feet in the United States, they're not going to stop. I understand that. But that doesn't justify violating people's rights, damaging or destroying their personal property, who just want to drive home from work, from the grocery store, from their in-laws. Real freedom lies in the thin space that separates an American citizen from an armed member of the government. If our personal property, if our person and personal property are not protected by the authorities, if they are attacked by the authorities, we no longer have a free republic. Now, I think every day, we give up a little bit of our liberty. And Bill Whitehead, in the book, A Government of Wolves, talks about a concept which I had not heard before called friendly fascism. Friendly fascism. They're doing this. This representative is doing this to protect us. It's going to protect us. Isn't that worth giving up your liberty to be protected? I forget who it was, Franklin, Jefferson, somebody. One of the founding fathers says anybody who gives up their liberty for security will have neither liberty or security. Ayn Rand said any government that's powerful enough to do things for you is powerful enough to do things to you. I bring this up because this is the, if you start connecting the dots, this is the result of what's happening in the economy. People are on edge. This country is a tinderbox that all it's going to take is a spark. Google sometime or go to YouTube and start looking at U.S. Border Patrol films. U.S. Border Patrol terrorizing citizens. I mean, anything like that will come up and you'll start seeing these issues. Now, what's it going to take? How many times have I asked you this question? What's it going to take? We know where these Border Patrol checkpoints are. Why isn't there 500 cars there filled with 1,000 citizens armed, making a point to these Border Patrol agents? They all showed up for Clive Bundy out in Nevada. And look what the government people did. They did what all bullies do eventually, and that's they back down. There's a sign out on the airport highway over here in Toledo, heading west, a big billboard that says, "When government fears the people, you have freedom. When people fear the government, you have tyranny." How many of you are afraid of the government? How many of you are afraid of an IRS audit? How many of you are afraid of Homeland Security showing up at your house? You know what gets us classified as a terrorist, domestic terrorist today? What I am doing right now. Technically, according to the law, federal law, I can be classified a domestic terrorist for speaking out against these issues. Somebody going to show up at my house tonight and drag me away? Maybe. I guarantee you, not just one of us will be bloody. But what's it going to take? At what point do you say this mother and her two small children who were dragged out of her van 60-some miles from the Mexican border, where she and her family have lived for years, at what point are you going to say, we can't let that happen? Are we going to ignore that because it's in Texas? Texas a long way from here? Or New Mexico or Arizona? The fact that you live within 100 miles of the Mexican border in those states classifies you as a suspect. Now, the mom that got drug out of her van with two small children in the van and her tires slashed and everything else, I see a picture of her. It's on the ACLU.org website. A picture of her. She's about as American looking as you can get. So at what point do we say this is enough? Does it have to affect you and your family first? Or are we going to do something about this now? It's only a matter of time. You know, all of us here in Northern Ohio, we're within 100 miles of the border. Do you want to get stopped on your way to work every day? You want your car windows broken? You want the Constitution thrown away and not applied to you? At what point do we recognize friendly fascism and do something about it? Ferguson, Missouri is what I think a small example of what really could happen here. We'll talk about that next. I'm Gary Rathman. This is Eye on Your Money. You know, they got some real problems down in Ferguson, Missouri. It's just outside of, I think it's north of St. Louis. And I'm not going to get into the issue of the policeman shooting supposedly an unarmed black. I don't even know how old he was. I don't know if he was a kid or an adult. Oh, I guess he was 18. Michael Brown, 18. Not going to get into that. I haven't read hardly anything about the details of what actually happened between that kid and the police officer. What I am going to get into is the reaction of the community in destroying, once again, private property. I don't see how anybody can rationalize the destroying of people's lives and private property because of possibly an injustice done to someone in that community by a police officer. Now, coming off the conversation we just had, Is a police officer overstepping his authority? Maybe, but we don't know. We don't know. These people are going on TV saying, I hope that the police officer gets the death penalty. And we don't know any of the facts yet. But it just bothers the crap out of me to see all the looting going on. And these are private citizens. These are members of their own community. And they're destroying their property and they're dancing about it. They're on TV stealing stuff and looting and destroying these stores of these private citizens. And they feel perfectly justified. These kids are jumping up and down on top of police cars, daring the police to do something, daring them to do something. Now, how does this relate to economics? This is because of the fear and anxiety in this country that I believe is tied to economics. These people that are destroying private property, that are looting, that are stealing private property. You know, if middle-income America was stronger here, and these people had to get up in the morning and go to work, and had to pay their mortgage, and had to pay college tuition, and pay their bills, I don't think they'd be out destroying their own community all night long. Now, on the flip side, just before I went on air today, FAA came out and said that they closed low-flying airspace over this community. Now, what's that mean? That means that news helicopters are no longer allowed in the area. No low-flying aircraft. So we can't see what's going on. You can bet there's government drones flying around there. I'll bet money on that. But news people are no longer allowed to fly over the areas. Interesting, interesting, but it's all tied to the economy. And I don't believe that's a stretch. There is injustice, but it's tied to the economy. I'm Gary Rathman. This is Eye on Your Money, your free market voice of the Midwest.